Before I read, I'll just mention that Paul is writing to some churches that he had planted in the Roman province of Galatia, which is located in south central, what we now call Turkey. And since Paul had been there, some Jewish Christian teachers had come on the scene, and these teachers were teaching that the various ceremonies of the Old Testament had to be fulfilled by the believers in the churches, and in particular, they were saying that non-Jews needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so that's the situation that Paul is dealing with here. And so we'll read, starting with verse 1 of chapter 3, we'll read through verse 14, and our focus will be on verses 10 to 14 of Galatians chapter 3. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." And that concludes our reading of this portion of the word of the Lord, and may he write its truth on our hearts this morning. Some years ago, our family took a trip to Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, as you know, is full of history. And in Boston, you can walk the Freedom Trail and see famous places of the Revolutionary War period. You can visit on the Freedom Trail of Paul Revere's house. You can see the old North Church where the lanterns were hung to signal to Revere when he made his famous night ride. And you can also see the ship called Old Ironsides or USS Constitution. So Boston is a fascinating place, but because it is an old city, some of the streets are one way and they're kind of crooked and at odd angles, and so it's a confusing place to get around in, especially by car. At least we found it that way. And when we were in Boston, we were trying to get to see Old Ironsides, but for a while it seemed impossible to get there. We could see the mast of the ship, but every time we tried to take the right road, it seemed to end up leading us away. And so it was frustrating, but finally we did find the right road and we did get to see Old Ironsides. Now here in Galatians 3, Paul is showing that spiritually you can have a problem similar to the problem we were having in Boston. You can take the wrong road. You can follow a road that you think will lead to getting right with God and receiving the Holy Spirit, but actually that road may turn out to be a dead end. Paul warns us about this spiritual dead end, and then he points out the right way, the only way that you and I can receive this great blessing of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, let's listen together to Paul's warning and also his direction. We need to do this because if we don't, we'll end up spiritually frustrated and ultimately lost. So what is the path that is a dead end as far as receiving the Holy Spirit? Well, that wrong path is law-keeping, keeping the law. And the law Paul is talking about is the law of Moses in the Old Testament. This is a law that was given by God, and so you might think that keeping this law would lead to blessing. You might think that this would be the way to receive the Holy Spirit. But Paul here says, no, keeping the law is a dead end when it comes to receiving these blessings. And why? Well, Paul says two things by way of explanation. Why is this a dead end? Why is law keeping a dead end? First, he says, if you rely on law keeping, you are under a curse. Verse 10, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Now, what is a curse? A curse is when you call on God to bring punishment or injury on someone. If you say, may God cause your arm to be dislocated, that would be a curse. But why would trying to keep God's law bring you under a curse? Well, it's because in the Old Testament, the law is part of God's covenant that he makes with his people, and the covenant includes curses. In biblical times, sometimes a great king would make a treaty with a lesser king called a covenant, and in the covenant or the treaty, the great king would require the lesser king to observe certain rules, certain laws, and then at the end of the document, there would be curses that would be listed that would come upon that lesser king if he failed to keep the rules, if he failed to keep the covenant. And so in the covenant God made with his people, God also put curses at the end. In the second half of verse 10, Paul quotes one of the curses. He quotes Deuteronomy 27:26, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. It's a very comprehensive curse. You're cursed if you fail to do everything written in the book of the law. If you fail at even one point, you come under the curse of God. It's like there's this narrow path that you need to walk, and on either side there are landmines, and if you take even one step out of the path, the landmine will blow you up. Curses attached to the law are like those mines. And who of us has not failed to keep the moral law of God in one way or another? Who of us has not lied? Who of us has not coveted? Who of us has not loved our neighbor as we love ourselves? We've all failed to continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So if you're trying to keep the law as a way of being blessed, Deuteronomy says, you're under a curse. You've stepped on a landmine. That's one part of Paul's explanation why, when it comes to receiving God's blessing of the Spirit, law-keeping is a dead end. And then a second part of his explanation is that if you rely on law-keeping, you can't be justified. Verse 11, Paul says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law. Now, what does it mean to be justified? In verse, the word justify really means to declare innocent, to declare righteous. It's something that a judge does in a courtroom. If you're on trial and the judge declares you innocent, declares that you are not guilty in any way, that is to be justified, to be declared right with the law. And that's what we all need. We need God to declare that we are righteous, that we are right with Him. If God justifies you, you will not be punished for your sin. And then you can receive the blessing of the Spirit, then you can receive eternal life. But can God justify you if all you're doing is trying to keep the law? He can't. In the second half of verse 11, it says, you can't be justified by keeping the law because the righteous will live by faith. And that's a quote from Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Paul is using that verse to show the only way that God can justify you, the only way He can declare that you are innocent and right with Him is by faith. You have to believe in Jesus. In verse 12, he says, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. That's a quote from Leviticus 18:5. And Paul's point is that the law does not talk about living by faith. It talks about living by keeping the law. And that's something that none of us can do. The difference between trying to be justified by keeping the law and justified by faith is like the difference between climbing the stairs to the 8th floor of a building and taking the elevator. Now, if you can walk, you can probably make it up the 8 flights of stairs to the 8th floor, but let's say you're paralyzed and in a wheelchair, then there's no way you can climb those stairs. You've got to use the elevator. Well, that's our situation. Because of our sin, it's like we're morally paralyzed on our own. We are totally unable to do what is truly good. We cannot be justified by keeping the law. We can't make it. That would be like being a quadriplegic and trying to get to the 8th floor by means of the stairs. The only way we can be justified is by faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Christ is like getting on the elevator, letting the elevator take you to the 8th floor. Only through faith in Christ can you be put right with God. So relying on keeping the law is a dead end because you cannot keep it perfectly. It brings you under a curse and it cannot put you right with God. So if keeping the law is the way that you can come to only a dead end, it is not the way to receive the blessing of the Spirit. What is the right way? And in verses 13 and 14, Paul talks about the only way that we can receive this blessing, the only way is through faith in Christ's redemption. Faith in Christ's redemption. And Paul talks about Christ's redemption in verse 13. He says that Christ redeemed us from the law's curse by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us from the law's curse by becoming a curse for us. Now, this language of redeeming and redemption we do not use every day, but it simply means buying back, purchasing back something you had before that you lost. In the Old Testament, people who were sold into slavery could be redeemed. If you were sold into slavery, as people often were because they were in debt, then a relative could come along and he could pay a sum of money and purchase your freedom. That was redemption. And then too, in certain cases, it was also possible to redeem those who were under a death penalty. And if you were supposed to be executed, in a few cases, money could be paid and you would not have to be killed. And when Paul talks about redemption here, he has in mind the payment that is made so that we do not have to suffer the curse of the law. All of us are under that curse. We've seen that. All of us deserve eternal death because we have failed to keep God's law. We have not loved God with all our beings, have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. So we're under this curse that Paul mentions in verse 10. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So we need to be redeemed. We need somehow someone to pay a price to deliver us from this curse. And Paul says that Christ has redeemed us. Christ has paid the price to free us from the law's curse. And what was that price? Well, it was no amount of money. Even $1 million could not deliver us from the curse of the law. No, to redeem us, Christ himself had to become a curse in our place. He had to become a curse by taking the guilt of our sins upon himself and then suffering and dying for those sins when he died on the cross. That was what had to be done to redeem us. Okay, but how can you know for sure that Christ became a curse for us? Well, Paul says the way that Christ was executed shows that he did become a curse. And he quotes another verse from Deuteronomy 21, 23. And there it talks about a person who has done something that deserves the death penalty. In the Old Testament times, that person would be put to death, but then not only would that person be executed, his body would be hung on a tree or a post as a warning to others. And in Deuteronomy 21, 23, it says, anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. That doesn't mean that just being hung on a tree by itself would put you under a curse, but the person had done something worthy of the death penalty, and his being hung on a tree showed that he was under God's curse. And the same was true for Jesus as he was crucified. He had paid the penalty. He had been under the curse of God, and his being hung on the cross showed that he had become a curse for us. Some of you may have seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ. Whatever else you want to say about it, it does certainly show how horrible the penalty and the method of execution called crucifixion really was. Just a horrible, horrible way to die devised by the Romans. And Paul is saying it was not an accident that Jesus died in that way. God planned that he would die in that way. As our catechism says, this death convinces me that he shouldered the curse which lay on me, since death by crucifixion was accursed by God. So Christ redeemed us. He purchased our freedom from the curse of the law by paying this incredible price. He became a curse for us. And then, as Paul says in verse 14, that means that by faith in Christ, you may receive the blessing of the Spirit. By faith in Christ, you may receive the blessing. In verse 13, you might think the only reason Christ redeemed us was to save us from the curse. Certainly, that was part of the reason he died. But in verse 14, Paul says Christ also redeemed us so we could receive a blessing. He took the curse away from us, but he also gives us a blessing. And the blessing is what Paul calls the blessing of Abraham. In Genesis, God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. And Paul quotes that back in verse 8. And now here he's saying Christ has redeemed us so that all nations may be blessed with the blessing of Abraham. All nations may experience being put right with God as Abraham was put right with God. All nations may then receive the promise of the Spirit. And in the Old Testament, God promised to pour out His Spirit on His people. That was a marvelous blessing that they looked forward to. And now in Christ, that promise is fulfilled. As we believe in Jesus, we become children of Abraham. We receive the blessing of Abraham, and we receive the promised Holy Spirit by faith. And why is it such a blessing to have the Spirit? Well, you just have to read the rest of Galatians, and you'll see in Galatians 4, it tells us that through the Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, and through the Spirit we cry to God, Abba, Father. It's through the Spirit that we're enabled to realize that we are children of God. What a wonderful blessing that is. And then you read Galatians 5, and you read about the fruit of the Spirit. And that through the Spirit you can produce this marvelous fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these blessings, all of these graces, possible, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. So what a blessing we receive when we receive the Spirit. And this is the wonderful gift that we receive when we put faith in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Because He died to become a curse for us, He fills us with His blessing. So what about you this morning? I hope you're not like my family was there in Boston, driving around, lost, ending up at a dead end. That's where you are. If you're trying to get right with God by keeping the law, by keeping religious rules, you're never going to accomplish it. You're like a paralyzed person who has to get to the 8th floor and you're trying to use the stairs. You're never going to make it. There is another way. There's a glorious way. There's an elevator. There's Jesus Christ, who has died and has fully paid for all our sins with His precious blood, who has become a curse for us, to fill us with His blessing. And He takes you, as you trust in Him, He takes you directly to that blessing. So put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on the elevator. Get on the only way to get right with God. The only way to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus on the cross took all your sins and became a curse in your place. He became a curse to fill us with His blessing. The Lord's Supper is going to remind us of that this morning as we receive the symbols of Christ's sacrifice. We'll be reminded of the rich blessings that flow from our Savior, and we'll be refreshed and nourished by the Spirit of God. Let's ask for God's blessing in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have this opportunity to worship and to seek Your presence and to experience the freedom of forgiveness and righteousness and Your Spirit through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to try to gain these blessings by keeping rules. Help us to see that we can only gain blessing by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, give us that true faith. And in that faith, may we come to this table and be nourished and refreshed in our faith as we receive the symbols and the seals of Christ's sacrifice for us. We pray this in His name. Amen.